The scriptural stations, Jesus is crucified.
When they reached the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, and the two criminals also, one on the right and the other on the left.
Jesus is crucified. This morning's lecture, gentlemen, is not for the squeamish. But then again, you presumably would not be medical students if you were easily distressed by the contemplation of blood or pain. Most of the time, we are dealing with the morbid happenstance of human pathology. Occasionally, we're picking up the pieces of the brutal consequence of premeditated inhumanity. Crucifixion is not a novelty. It was, we believe, first employed by the Persians in the 5th century before Christ, enthusiastically evangelized across his empire by the remarkable general and keen sodomite Alexander the Great, and refined in cruelty by the Roman state. As a means of discouragement to the enemies of the state, it has little equal. Hoisting the condemned up into a visual vantage point and causing maximum pain is an art form. Lining the main roads with such exhibits leaves an irremovable image on the psyche of the observer. The sound of public, unashamed torture and the cries of the dying are not easily forgotten. How does it work? We are fairly clear that the prelude to the formal procedure was a thorough flogging of the victim, whips studded with metal or bone. And this, like the picador in a bullfight, weakens the object of torture, causes blood loss, dehydrates, subjects the corpus to profound and sustained shock. Then the victim would be obliged to carry his crossbeam, weight anywhere between 75 and 125 pounds, to the place of execution. This beam, the patibulum, translates as gallows, but is literally the place of suffering. And so it is. In order to affix the body securely to its sky anchor, it is necessary to select points which give stability and are unlikely to tear or destabilize the writhing creature, thereby causing embarrassment to the executioner. Such evidence as we have indicates that the hand is no place for this. The obvious choice is the wrist. Punching the 6-inch nail between the ends of the radius and the ulna, thereby giving both a moving hinge for when the condemned seeks to raise himself to breathe, and the maximum agony by damaging the median nerve. To be still is to suffer terribly. To move is excruciating, but necessary, as the body struggles to breathe against the drowning weight of death. Similarly, at the other end, the tissues of the feet are too feeble to sustain the infliction. The nails must be driven through the ankle joints or just above. Again, maximum leverage, maximum suffering. The portraits of this procedure sometimes suggest a sloping saddle halfway up the upright for respite, but this seems unlikely and contrary to the device's primary intention. Piercing in this way continues the predictable blood loss and the growing strain on the system. Cause of death may be various and multiple. Cardiac arrest, a simple overload of the system. Asphyxiation, the growing inability to sustain a position in which the lungs can receive oxygen. Hypovolemic shock, not enough blood or fluid in the system for the heart to function. Those who took days rather than hours to die could be the subject of sepsis from wounds, dehydration, or overnight animal predation. All in all, gentlemen, not a first choice method of departure from this mortal coil. Two little points of historic interest. You will all be aware that the most famous crucifixee, if I may call him that, was Jesus. The position of the hand in many depictions of his martyrdom typifies the median clench, that is, where the last two fingers retract in response to the damage of the median nerve and the first two fingers erect themselves. This response to the agony, ironically but hugely significantly, gives the traditional position of the hand of the Christian priest in blessing the faithful. Second, to confirm death, the attendant guards would deliver a blow to the right chest and heart. If the condemned was punctured post-mortem, the fluid would flood out of the wound, while if stabbed ante-mortem, before blood and pulmonary edema saturated the lungs, no liquid would drain. This was then an efficient and effective way to confirm the death of those being crucified. Put shortly, gentlemen, St. John's account was absolutely on the money. This may give you some insight into why the followers of Jesus refer to this moment as the sacrifice, and why they look with amazement and wonder and thanksgiving on the price that Christ was prepared to pay for their salvation.